First public hearing is change of zone number 1666 Beaver Properties LLC.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map from a GR General Residential District to a GR RPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, for land lying east of Old State Road being Road 213, 1/4 mile north of Milton-Ellendale Highway being Route 16, and also being north of the town of Ellendale, and to be located on 101.6 acres, more or less. For the record, gentlemen, and for the audience, the commissioners have received a rather voluminous exhibit booklet containing information based on letters, the change of zone application, preliminary site plans, information sheets and site location maps, proposed findings of fact and conditions, plus comments being the preliminary land use service, responses to the plus comments from the applicant, technical advisory committee comments, and technical advisory committee response letters. There's also a development report included in the documents related to the MPHU program, which is moderately priced housing units. There's also a land use surrounding zoning and site locations, making reference to majority of which are map exhibits, the comprehensive plan exhibits, the state strategies. There are additional site information like tax maps, et cetera. There's a stormwater conceptual plan and approach, traffic and site circulation with the typical street sections. There's references to utility providers, covenants, and conditions, all included within this exhibit booklet. I've also received, and most of which are in the booklet, original copies of technical advisory committee comments, which are the comments from the different agencies responding to the project. And we also received on September 15th a technical impact study on roads, which is also a part of the record. And I did receive one additional comment yesterday, 24th, from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division in reference to this application. That makes reference to the location, the applicant, the change of zone number, the size of the parcel was proposed. The site is located in the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available. Ordinance number 38 construction will be required. The current system connection charge rate is $6,848 per EDU. In reference to location and size of laterals or connection points, a connection point had been provided along the parcel's frontage on Old Stage Road. States that a small portion of the project must be annexed into the sewer district. The conformity to the Ellendale technical memorandum and the preliminary study for Ellendale's treatment and disposal options will be required. Notes that the majority of the project is within the boundaries of the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District and connection to the sewer system is mandatory. The project is within the planning study area and design assumptions for sewer service. County requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet engineering department's requirements and procedures. County engineer must approve the connection point. The sewer concept plan must be submitted for review and approval prior to any sewer construction. They also provide a checklist for preparing sewer concept plans. Makes reference again to conformity to the Ellendale technical memorandum. The preliminary study for Ellendale treatment and disposal options and an approved concept plan will be required. Notes that the preliminary site plan states the northern parcel boundary had been realigned to a revised record plan. Plan showed a piece of land from an adjoining parcel has been added to the Ingram Village parcel. The added land is not currently within the boundaries of the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District and must be annexed. The policy for extending district boundaries is attached to the memorandum. Annexation of the additional land must be complete prior to submittal of construction drawings for review. It notes that a one-time system connection charges will apply and provides a contact person for additional information on those charges. And again, notes that a concept plan is required, and that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we get started, is there anyone here with a particular interest in this application? Any members of the public that are here for this application? Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to know if you were here. I want to invite you to feel free to come up and look at the exhibits that are up here. I will ask them to turn one so that it's facing the audience, but they're difficult to see, especially from back there. You're more than welcome to get up, walk up here, take a look at it, and at the appropriate time, you will be given the opportunity to speak. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm attorney of record for the applicant, Beaver Properties, LLC, on change of zone 1666. As Lawrence has announced to you, this is a GRRPC application for a tract of land located near Ellendale, Delaware. I have with me this evening two gentlemen that you will probably be hearing at least a lot from one of, and maybe not so much from the other. Mr. Willie is a professional engineer with George Miles and Buehr, and he will be providing the technical comments on the design of this project. And I have Mr. Dale Wheatley, who is a member of the LLC that is the applicant. And Mr. Wheatley indicates to me that he'd be very happy if he didn't have to say anything in front of you this evening. You all have received the books. The books are, as you would expect, contain very valuable information that will assist you in understanding what the application is and what the effects are on the surrounding property. We did submit one copy of the TIS and only one copy in the understanding that it is a very technical auto count of vehicle trips. It's probably not necessary for all of you to have one to look at, but there is at least one available for each of you to look at in the course of your deliberation of what you do or don't want to do with this particular application. As I've indicated to you, Beaver Properties, LLC, is the developer of this tract of land, and George Miles and Buehr has been the design professional that has worked with this particular project. We are immediately adjacent to the town of Ellendale, and there is 100.71 acres of land that are involved in the total project. But that comes with a caveat. And the caveat is that 97.66 acres are actually in the county and 3.05 acres are in Ellendale. And I will tie those two pieces together for you when I get done with my presentation later, but I think it's fair to tell you that if this application goes through, we will be applying for an annexation into the town of Ellendale, and I will explain how all of that works after Mr. Willie has concluded his presentation. This property is currently either farmed or cut over timber, and with the GRRPC, with a moderately priced housing unit application pending before. That's a mouthful, you know that? GRPC MPHU. If we can get all of that put together, then we will have a project that will go into the town of Ellendale. The primary purpose of all of this is, of course, to have residential uses. The current county land use plan shows this property being in a growth area. Similarly, the Ellendale land use plan would show it to be in a growth area. And under the state strategies map for spending, it's in levels 2 and 3, and this is consistent with their land use planning report through PLUS. We will have sanitary waste disposal provided by the county engineering department, and there will be a central water supply through Artesian. There are no state wetlands on site. With these thoughts in mind, I'd like to have Mr. Willie come forward and describe for you the technical aspects of how we got where we are today, including an overview of the site, the planning process on how we got here, subdivision considerations for the moderately priced housing, plus TAC, housing types and what have you, things that will be of some interest to you and will require an understanding of the site plans. All of these are available to you inside the book, although I've found that the cover is probably the most helpful of all the things that we've provided. Thank you, and I'll call Mr. Willie up. And if you will, when you begin, Mr. Willie, express to the chairman how you are a professional engineer and how that will be helpful to the commission.
Okay. For the record, my name is James Willie, Jr., registered professional engineer, state of Delaware, number 13710, with George Miles and Buer, 206 West Main Street, Salisbury, Maryland. Okay. Getting started this evening. A little bit will be repetitive of what Mr. Schrader's just indicated. Our project's located on the northerly side of town Allendale. It's bounded by the town on the south, obviously. It's bounded by the Norfolk Southern Railroad and a parcel slated for commercial or industrial use on the easterly side. Note, this particular plan, north is to the left due to the shape of the parcel. The property is bounded on the east by Old State Road, which is also County Road 213. Which has existing homes along the edge of our proposed project. And it's bounded on the north by a wooded parcel owned by Gladfelter. As Mr. Schrader stated, we have approximately 100.71 acres, 97.66 in the county, 3.05 within the town. A portion within the county is zoned GR. And we have the schoolhouse tax ditch located on site. Okay, how do we get here? Planning process and design consideration. We're proposing 405 residential units total. There are 399 in the county portion of the project, four lots which are currently laid out completely within the town, and two lots which are split by the existing town limit line. Within the 405 residential units, we're proposing 233 single-family homes and 172 townhomes. We're using a mix of single family and townhomes to meet the state strategies for level two development recommendations and to facilitate our inclusion into the moderately priced housing unit program. In particular, I would note that the state strategies update of 2004 states level two development should be characterized by a mix of housing types and limited commercial uses as well as interconnecting roads. This is further defined as compact development, tending to include a mixture of uses and a range of residential unit types that allow for higher overall densities than typical suburban development. This design style draws its inspiration from traditional town development patterns and may be an excellent choice for areas where new development is to be integrated into an existing community. Sounds as if it was written specifically for our project. As Mr. Schrader stated also, the moderately priced housing program application was filed on February 14th of this year and was approved by the county on May the 1st. The moderately priced housing unit program allows a 20% density bonus if you agree to a minimum of 15% of what they classify as Tier A moderately priced housing units, and I will discuss the price points later in my presentation. The moderately priced housing unit program requires phasing of home types to include moderately priced units within each phase of the development. And there is a phasing plan within your books in color, and we also have a black and white version down there. The single family and townhome units are planned for moderately priced units. We have a total of 60 units planned at this time. With regard to the community layout, you will notice that there is a system of rectilinear streets. Grid pattern. Basically, it seeks to mimic the existing town of Ellendale street network. One of the key connections to the existing town will be the extension of Washington Avenue, this street, and then, of course, the other two main access points will be Delta entrances on the Old State Road. Within the development, you'll notice that there are no cul-de-sacs. Everything is laid out in a traditional small town Delaware type street network. In the center, except for Georgetown, of course, which has a circle, the center to the left side of the project, you'll notice there's what we call the Village Center Park. It's a 5.6 acre area, which is our main community feature. It includes a large amount of green space suitable for active or passive recreation, which I note is very similar in size to the town Del Mar State Street Park. It also includes a community structure with parking. We have sidewalks on at least one side of the road for pedestrian interconnectivity. We have single-family housing, which is adjacent to the existing areas of single-family housing. We didn't back townhouses up to existing single-family. We also use the townhomes to increase the density near the Village Center Park and to provide a transition from the adjoining commercial parcel, which is located on the northerly boundary. So to the right side of the top portion of the project there, you can see where our project chops off. That piece between us and the railroad track is slated under the Ellendale Comprehensive Plan for commercial or industrial use in the future. We have included a landscape buffer along the existing railroad tracks, and we have included a landscaped wooded buffer along the existing wooded track to our west, which is the, to the north, the far left, which again is the Gladfelter property. In addition, you'll notice that in our main entrance down at the lower left-hand side of the project, we have a water feature on all three sides of the main entrance. With regard to the subdivision considerations as it relates to the moderately priced housing program, obviously, if we're going to offer these homes at a moderately priced housing point, we have to do things a little different than if it were a gated community. You'll notice that all of our roads, or nearly all of the roads except for the, along the Village Center Park, are double fronted with homes, with homes on both sides of the streets. And we've used a careful layout of our sidewalks so that we can maintain interconnectivity to get to the Village Center Park, but we didn't use sidewalks on both sides of the street in order to reduce our infrastructure costs. And we have put the sidewalks on the side of the street closest to the Village Center Park. As I indicated before, in our phasing plan, which originated with the moderately priced housing application, we have moderately priced units within each of the three phases planned. And our phasing is going to begin with the development of homes along the town's northerly boundary, which should provide for an orderly growth from the existing town northward. On your plan, on the easel, that would be from the right proceeding to the left. Plus review. The plus review comments and responses are included in the public hearing data books. The comments, in my experience, were generally favorable, particularly with regard to the fact that this particular piece of property is shown in both the county and the Ellendale comprehensive plans as being area of future residential development. The comments also indicated that the moderately priced housing was appropriate for the area, and the comments were in favor of the fact that everything is on central water and sewer. Our latest email from our friends at The Plus, which I received on September 16th, noted that they had reviewed our comments and responses. They have not issued a letter yet. They did indicate that they may ask for more detail for the landscaping information on the buffer along the railroad tracks, and that they were noting that DelDOT is going to continue to require coordination with regard to the TIS and offsite improvements, which I will address shortly. For the TAC review, again, the comments and responses are in the public hearing book. Again, I found the comments to be generally favorable. The majority of the comments were related to the sewer from Mr. Ashman and Mr. Davis. And while we're talking about that, I just want to explain, Mr. Lank noted in the comments note that an extension of the sanitary, Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District is needed. What has happened, there was a lot line revision on this property. This small triangle here was swapped to the Gladfelter in return for a small triangle of property here, so that basically squared off the property. That was done after the sanitary district boundaries were established, which means that the sanitary district needs to be expanded to include this upper left portion of the project. So that is one more step that we will undertake after we get the sewer concept plan approved. There was one set of comments in the from Mr. Ashman, again noting that adequate sewer capacity is available. And there was one set of comments from the Delaware Department of Agriculture Forestry individuals, which seemed to me to be a little bit off base. They indicated that the development was within the best natural resources area, but the state resources mapping, in which we have included a copy in the book, shows basically that it follows the outline of the Gladfelter parcel, which would mean that in essence, the only portion of this site that would be the best natural resources is that same little triangle that we just talked about that was involved in the lot line revision. The other area that they mentioned was a mention of an excellent recharge area. The state also provided a map in the TAC comments showing the excellent recharge area. And for your information, it basically includes just the very tip of this project. It just sneaks along inside the town line. So we have left that corner of the project as open space in response to that comment about the excellent recharge area. Other comments received were the standard comments from the Office of Drinking Water with regard to approval of plans and specs for the artesian water system, standard comments from the fire marshal, and comments from the Deneric Drainage Section, Mr. Brooks Scahall, informing everyone that we have, in fact, entered into the somewhat long process of relocating a tax ditch, which, of course, will require both a hydraulic evaluation and then a court order change to actually relocate the tax ditch. We would also note that the negotiations on the DLDOT noted that negotiations on the traffic impact study is continuing. Our last meeting with DLDOT was held on July 29th, 2008. There are 8 specific areas of offsite improvements which were addressed in the TIS, and there is a notation in the book, in your data book, that goes through all 8 of those items and which ones the developer is going to do completely and which ones have been modified through negotiation. And there are still a couple outstanding issues. DLDOT's going to check a couple of the issues. We believe that without our project, or even with our project, those requirements or improvements are going to be necessary. And DLDOT's going to check the traffic counts and verify some things along that nature. So that traffic impact study and the required offsite improvements is still in process. Under housing types, basically the single family housing types are planned to be subcontracted to builders such as Barraca and Hovnanian. We've also, the owners, Beaver Property, have entered into discussions with Milford Housing to build portions of the moderately priced housing program. Milford has experience building that type of housing. Our moderately priced housing units will have a minimum of 2 bedrooms. They will not be clustered in the community, but they will be interspersed throughout the project so as to be indistinguishable from the market rate project. The townhome, fairly common product. We've laid out and envisioned the product, townhome product, that's typical of the Ryan townhomes that you see throughout the Delmarva Peninsula. As I mentioned earlier, with regard to the moderately priced housing units, we're going to offer 60 of these units within the county's program, and they will be within the range of $152,000 to $222,000. The price depends on the number of bedrooms. There's a scale associated with the number of people and the family, the number of bedrooms, et cetera. The overall density, the project is 4.0, 405 units total for 100.71 acres. The allowable units, if you go into section 115 of the GRRPC code, run density comps, they say there can be 402 units, and we have 399 specifically within the county, 2 which are split between the county and the town, so we are underneath that by 1. The required open space is 10% or 10.2 acres. We have 5.9 acres interior. Again, I mentioned most of that. Most of the interior is involved in that Village Center Park. The remaining open space is 14 acres of landscaped perimeter buffer, and that brings us to a total of 20 acres, or approximately 20% open space. Again, with regard to recreational facilities, sort of already babbled on about the Village Center Park, but obviously that's our main feature. We do have some interspersed green areas for informal gatherings. You'll notice there's on the right side of the plan, there's a traffic circle for Washington Avenue extended where it comes into our project. And we have the green space within the circle and green space around the perimeter of the circle. We also note that the landscape perimeter buffer could contain mulch walking trails. And in initial discussions between the developers and the town of Ellendale, there was some discussion that the amenities needed to be appropriate to the neighborhood. They didn't want a place that would be a gathering spot and cause trouble with unruly crowds, I guess. Okay, I mentioned also phasing. Again, the phasing is specifically required under the moderately priced housing program. The project is basically three equal phases. Again, phase one is adjacent to the existing town border. Phase two is in the center. Phase three is to the left. Our off-site delta improvements and the phasing of those is being coordinated within the TIS process. And obviously our delta entrances will have to be approved and constructed in accordance with each phase. You will, the first Del Dot entrance to the right side of the plan is in phase one. The second Del Dot entrance along Old State Road is in phase two. Getting back just briefly to the traffic issues, talked about the TIS. Davis Bone and Friedel performed the TIS. The off-site improvements we discussed, they're in the book. Basically, they're going to require a widening of Old State Road and some contributions to an upgraded railroad crossing and intermodal path connectivity and assortment of typical Del Dot requirements. Mr. Wheatley has spoken with the owner of the large undeveloped parcel, which you see to the bottom. Where it says Old State Road, there's a large ag parcel there. And while we do not have any final right-of-way negotiations on paper, the owner has indicated that he is amenable to negotiations for right-of-way along his property frontage with a common sense stipulation that any Del Dot widening done at this time should be sufficient in case he ever decides to develop his property. As Mr. Lank mentioned, a full copy of the TIS was submitted for the public record. The Del Dot comment letters and Mr. Brockenbrough's letter of no objection is included in the data book. With regard to the streets within the subdivision, within the development, the roads will be built to the county private road standards. On June the 3rd of 08, the town approved an inspection agreement for the review, permitting, and inspection of the roads to the county standards. And on July 1st of 08, I believe they passed an ordinance approving and enforcing that same agreement. With regard to soils, drainage, and stormwater management, obviously the Conservation District will require us to meet all the current regulations with regard to stormwater quantity and quality. George Mousing Bureau is prepared to include as many best management practices as necessary to meet the county's stormwater quality requirements. We held a pre-design meeting with the Conservation District on July 30th. Minutes of that pre-design meeting are included in your data book. Mr. Kelly Pearson of EnviroTech is processing the necessary permits to realign the schoolhouse tax ditch. He has already submitted the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer application. They've already verified that the tax ditch is waters of the U.S. and not wetlands, and that is also included in your data book. And GMB, obviously, be working with Mr. Cahill in addition to process the hydraulic computations and eventually initiate the court order change for the tax ditch location, relocation. Coming to hopefully a rather quick conclusion here. Wastewater. As mentioned, the majority of the site, except for the lot line modification area, is already located within the Ellendale Sanitary Sewer District. John Ashman provided a letter March 19th of 2007 indicating the current system has capacity for the Ingram Village project. The sewer wastewater exhibit that's in the preliminary site plan set in your data book shows the site being served by a combination of gravity sewer extensions. There's existing gravity line in Old State Road and the far northerly section of phase three. At this time, it appears will require a small pump station. The construction of all this will, of course, be in accordance with Ordinance 38 and approved by Mr. Baker. Construction permits will be issued by DENREC. Water supply. Artesian will provide our central water service. There's a 3-acre parcel slated for Artesian's use, which I would point out as this
large out parcel along the railroad track.
The 3-acre parcel will allow Artesian to meet requirements for wellhead protection and also state and county well setbacks. It also provides room for a water treatment system and building as needed, and room for an elevated water storage tank to provide both domestic service and fire flow capacity. Artesian has applied for the CPCN for this project. They made that application on July 6, 2008. Copies in your data book. And Artesian has also provided a letter to serve dated February 5, 2008. There is an executed water service agreement for this project between Beaver Properties LLC and Artesian, and that is included in your data book. At this point, pending any questions, I'll turn the presentation back over to Mr. Schrader. Excuse me.
Thank you, Jim. I'm going to give Mr. Wheatley a reprieve and let him stay seated. I think you know from having seen me up here before, we like to present you with a lot of data in the book as minimum form of presentation and then be available for questions and answers where you can get out what you really want to know about these particular projects. So in conclusion, let me offer you a couple things to think about. First off, we've talked about the annexation of this property into the town of Ellendale as a RPC MPHU project, and this is going to provide some significant benefits to the town of Ellendale, in particular increased tax base, an increased revenue stream, which will allow the town of Ellendale to do some things that it would like to do with its money that it would otherwise not have available to it without the benefit of having the annexation and these 400-plus units brought into town. There are also some negatives that go with this, and I can tell you that as a town attorney for two or three towns, annexation is not the ultimate panacea that many people think that it is. And included in that is that there are zoning issues and enforcement that come with annexation, as does inspection requirements for any infrastructure that may or may not be built in order to bring the project into town. And it's my understanding that the town of Ellendale has undertaken to negotiate with the county but has not yet completed a memorandum of understanding that will allow the county engineering to do the inspection services for the town, which would be consistent with what you would normally get if this project were to remain in the county and would allow for the county engineering to supervise both the water and wastewater as it becomes available and throughout the phasing of this particular project. So in the long run for the town of Ellendale, this becomes something that is easier for them to handle than it would be if we were putting 400 units right into the middle of town without the necessary supervisory personnel available to them to take on this type project. I have also presented to you covenants, conditions, and restrictions, which are consistent with those that would be required for a project of this size that includes some self-governance, the perpetual maintenance of things that would go into the common areas, such as the stormwater management ponds, the streets and roads, and because we're going to go in as an MPHU, there are also additional requirements that will have to be completed and inserted into the covenants, conditions, and restrictions at some point in time as we get through this process and the MPHUS process. The moderately priced housing, as has been pointed out by Mr. Willie, will result in 60 units coming into the project. They are interspersed. I want to point that out again. They are interspersed throughout the project so that they are not singled out or look different than any other units. They are of the same type and quality as are all units. The pricing is at $150,000 to $222,000 for each unit. I suppose there is a time in all of our lives where we would question whether or not that's moderately priced housing compared to higher priced housing. But under the current amendments to the MPHU ordinance, the county administrator and the director will make the necessary decisions to determine the formula is in place to determine what those sales prices are and how it will affect those units. With all of this in mind, I have submitted to you a proposed findings of fact and proposed conditions of approval that give you a guideline if you choose to approve this, or at least give you something to work from if you want to change some or all of the conditions. Those things, along with what we have presented to you today, I believe should be persuasive to the Planning and Zoning Commission that it has the opportunity to provide a benefit to not only the developer, but to the town of Ellendale, and that this project should be recommended to the county council for approval. Thank you. That would conclude the presentation that we're going to make on behalf of the applicant. Again, I have Mr. Willie and Mr. Wheatley with me to answer any questions that may be posed by Mr. Burton or any of the other commissioners that are interested in this project.
All right, sir. We thank you, and we'll see if there are any questions for you, and we will start with Mr. Burton.
You mentioned the buffering on the railroad track. What exactly will that be like?
We'll get Mr. Willie to answer that one.
Okay. What we have in mind at this point, I believe there is a 50-foot area between the back of the lots and the railroad right-of-way. And we envision utilizing the topsoil removed from the project during initial phases of construction to create a bermed area, which will then be landscaped in hopes of attenuating some of the noise. However, growing up in the town of Del Mar, I note that when my wife first moved down from Pennsylvania, she moved in, she heard the train, which apparently had been going by for years and years and years, and that I didn't notice at all. But it is intended to have a berm and landscaping. Checking the landscaping plan that was submitted on the preliminary site plan, we did not specify the actual plants at this time, which obviously would be a reasonable condition or thing that could be provided.
So the plan would be to along that, in that 50 foot, to berm it up so you essentially can't even see the train?
I think we would. The concerns as stated by DelDOT were more along the lines of the noise. I don't think we're looking at a berm that would be 15 or 20 feet high. I think we're talking about 4 to 6 feet high.
The filling of the tax ditch kind of interests me. How are you getting that done?
How do you get that done?
It's a lot of work.
It takes a lot of work. Basically, the realignment requires the Army Corps permit to work within the waters of the U.S. Then we do a hydraulic computation that shows the existing tax ditch basically zigzags through the site.
It looks like it backs right up to a lot of current homes, right?
It does in some areas, indeed. Basically, when we relocate a tax ditch, we'll have to prove that the hydraulic capacity of the ditch remains the same, the hydraulic gradient, the flooding, and et cetera. None of that changes with the relocation, which can be achieved by widening the ditch if necessary. Tax ditch relocation will also require us to provide a 20-foot maintenance easement or a 25-foot maintenance easement along one side, which we've anticipated to maintain on our side of the tax ditch.
Is that the blue line that's running along?
This is the relocated tax ditch. This would be the maintenance agreement area, which would be accessible from our interior streets. And then this area on the other side is, I believe, a 15 to 20-foot landscape buffer. After we have the hydraulic comps approved by DENREC drainage section, then you go to the tax ditch manager,
present the evidence and initiate what they call a court order change, which then takes another 6 months or so to work through the processes. And if that's all approved and the court order changed, tax ditch manager signs off, then you can go to work and relocate the tax ditch.
So it'd be the current houses, a 15-foot buffer, the tax ditch, and then a 30-foot buffer?
I believe it's 25, but we have to have a minimum of 25 for the maintenance easement.
But that'd be on the other side.
Right. That would be on our side of the tax, the Ingram Village side. And that won't be landscaped, obviously, with trees or shrubs. It'll be basically turf because it has to be available for maintenance.
Are the MPHUs, will they be townhouses only? I know you kind of touched on it. I didn't.
No, we're
single-family homes?
Our intention is to provide both single-family and townhome units in the program. In particular, I think I mentioned that Mr. Wheatley was talking to the Milford Housing folks who have done some of the moderately priced housing, and that would be the single-family product. Probably, we also mentioned the Barrica. Know exactly what we call those now, the manufactured single fan, not
modular.
Built in the factory, ISO 9001 standard quality homes, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yes, we would have a mix of both townhomes and single family. It would not be all townhomes.
But you mentioned the Milford Housing as part of, they're going to manage the deal or they're going to build the deal?
They're going to possibly build portions of the deal.
Of just the MPHU side of that. Is there any interconnectivity to the future commercial unit that's proposed for Allendale?
Yes. And in fact, one of the comments that we've addressed, and I didn't pay attention to, but actually the road section for this proposed road here will be increased to support whatever goes on this property. But this is intended, obviously hard to see at the scale, but we've shown the extension of this road into the property.
So just one of those roads will go into the commercial side, not?
At this point, obviously there would be an opportunity for additional connectivity if they needed it, but we have to, or they have to build a second. But we are providing one interconnectivity, one entrance for them.
And an increased road section.
And there's a plan for a water tower or just a storage tank?
Well, at this point, the Artesian folks ask us to plan for a water tower. I have an idea at some point they will undertake an economic feasibility situation and decide whether it needs to be an on-ground storage tank with fire pumps or whether it needs to be an elevated storage tank. I honestly don't think they've made that final decision, but they ask us to plan for an elevated storage tank. Obviously, we have done some other projects recently where the choice has come out to be an on-ground storage tank with the UL rated fire pumps.
I wouldn't want to speculate, but having met some of those people from Artesia, my guess is that if the certificated area is large enough, they'll ask for the elevated tank. And I would, if I were in your position, Mr. Burton, I would anticipate that it might very well be an elevated tank.
Okay. Which might require conditional use.
Which might require conditional use.
We're not
asking you to
show.
Well, our
tank.
Plans do show the tank. So
it's whether or not
finer
it's
mind
regional
than
one.
Finer
if it's
legal
regional, mind. That's what
if it goes regional, it would have to be a conditional use application.
Right.
If it remains solely within the project, it would not.
And the other, but you mentioned that the three ponds at the one entrance would be wet. Are you anticipating where you're moving the tax ditch that it will also be wet?
Yes, the tax ditch will probably holds water now.
Where it ends up, you're talking about. What? You're talking about the big pond.
Right. The southern boundary.
Right. It would be, we are proposing they would be interconnected, yes. At this time, again, that could change pending the final hydraulic analysis. But we, for our preliminary work, it looks like it actually works better to have it interconnected. I would note that some of the outlying stormwater features
may or may not be wet ponds. Some of this will all depend on how we work our
But we were anticipating that the main entrance would have the water feature.
Did you mention there would be a place for a bus stop?
I did not mention that specifically, but I think that's one of the eight things in item in the DLDOT TIS improvements. Item eight is the intermodal paths and the bus stops and things like that, and I'm pretty sure we do have to do that.
Would you object to one if it...
No, I even vaguely remember in my plus response saying that we would be more than happy to place a bus stop on the site.
I have no further questions.
All right, so thank you, Mr. Kirby. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. First, Mr. Schrader, I do want to give a credit to you and your presentation in that I do greatly appreciate how you superimpose your comments to the plus comments. It certainly bodes well for my review of the material, and I would wish that all the presenters tonight had done the same thing, but I'll address those later with them. But I do have a question concerning the, you were in reference to your sidewalks. Are you talking about sidewalks on one side or sidewalks on all sides of the street where there's housing?
Yes, sir. We have drawn the preliminary site plan with sidewalks on one side of the street in most of the areas. In particular, it's probably easier to just demonstrate
where the plans are showing sidewalk on this side of the street, 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 and then it all provides interconnectivity over to the Village Green area. Obviously, in the area of the Village Green and the townhomes, we have sidewalk on both sides of the street. So we tried to make judicious use of where we had sidewalk on both sides of the street,
and anticipating that folks that wanted to use the sidewalk from the interior of the community could come out their driveways, and cross the street, and use the sidewalk on the other side of the road if necessary.
But given the density of your project, is it possible to have sidewalks on all sides of the roads that front on housing units?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And in terms of wetlands, are there any wetlands on the property, your tax ditch, or is there other wetlands in the area?
There are no state wetlands. There are core wetlands associated with the state or with the ditch, tax ditch.
But just associated with the tax ditch?
Right.
Okay.
And, of course, that'll change.
If the tax ditch can be
assuming that a lot of things fall into place, even that changes as a result of those activities.
And in terms of recreational activities, am I correct in that you're proposing a clubhouse and some parkland areas? Any other type of amenities such as tot lots or multi-sport courts or...
Not at this time, but I think it's a reflection of the comments that have been received from the town, and we're going to play that one softly and have more input from the town about how they want to do that. This is going to pass into the town's jurisdiction, and they have some concerns that we need to address.
And the phases, there's three phases you're proposing, and what do you anticipate your build out on those phases?
Given the current given the current economy, it won't be this weekend.
President Bush says it's a crisis. So,
Dale, you know, what would you reasonably anticipate?
Well, I would hope it would have been
the first. Excuse me, Mr. Wheatley, you're going to have to come up and give us your name, and even though we know who you are, but that tape
recording. Dale Wheatley from Beaver Properties.
Thanks.
I mean, the way the economy is, I don't know even by when to start right now. I got to find out what's happening to the mortgage, whether they get mortgages or not. I can't sit here and tell you I'm going to even get started next year as far as that goes. I'm not going to start and know I'm going to lose money.
But given that once you do start construction, how many would you like to be building in a given year? given when the economy turns around. And
about 100 a year.
About 100 a year. So what, then that brings me back to the recreational amenities. You were referencing having those built by the time you have 125 units built.
I believe that's what I placed in the conditions.
Proposed
condition was 125th. Actually, when I wrote the proposed conditions, the economy was different 2 or 3 weeks ago compared to where it was now. But I was thinking that that had some sense to it, and recognizing that there are pending issues before the commission about how to articulate those things. I thought that was a reasonable number.
It also coincides roughly with the size of phase one.
Yeah.
Phase one's 130 units total as drawn up under this.
Because I know typically in the past the commission has looked at that in terms of time frames rather than the number of units.
I understand that, and it's caused problems for everybody.
Yes.
I didn't think it would take 3 years to even get this far either, but, yeah.
Okay. And given your detailed report and the questions by Mr. Burton, all my questions have been answered so far, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Gordy.
No questions.
Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have, I guess, would be a question for Mr. Lank. If this application were to move favorably from us and to county council, are we asked to vote and consider on this as a change of zone, and then if that's what we do in the affirmative, are we approving this as a master plan, or do we get each of the phases as it comes back to us?
Conceptually, you're looking at it as a preliminary of sorts right now.
Preliminary.
When they get the approval from council, if they get the approval from council, they then have to come back and submit a master plan to the commission for approval, which can be recorded as a master plan only and not for purpose of sales or construction. And then they would submit phase at a time or the whole project and showing the phases.
And the master plan would be something that typically we've been handling at our Wednesday special meetings?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, okay.
Same as any other subdivision site plan process once they get the approval of these.
Thank you. And really all my questions have been answered by you other gentlemen, but I did... Mr. Willie, and hearing what Mr. Schrader said, and with the amenities in the town and their input, but it more of a comment. It seems like the lots around, like lot number 72, am I correct that that is just about a half a mile from the community, the 5-acre community field? I kind of scaled that out somewhere between 2,400 and 2,600 feet. From those lots down there by, I believe it's Gladys and Lee. Just, I guess my comment is, if indeed it's pretty close to half hour, a half a mile, and you do get the chance to do something different with your amenities, perhaps consider Mr. Wheatley putting something on that south side.
Noted. Okay.
That was all. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Lank, have any questions?
There was a reference made to a water tower, just for curiosity. How high would that water tower be?
The state fire marshal for this, I believe, is 1,000 gallons a minute at 60 static residual, which would give you about 125-foot tall water tower.
125.
Artation told me that they were going to put a tower on the other piece of property, and so it would take care of the town and ours. So I don't know if they, as far as I know, that's what they're planning on.
I mean, we actually were talking to Artesian as recently as the 12th. I think we made our submittal on the 15th, and like I mentioned earlier, they realize that in order to provide fire flow and do it efficiently, it's likely to require an elevated storage tank, and they ask us to show it on the plan, a revised preliminary site plan. Perhaps we should have had someone here this evening from Artesian, but that's as best I can explain the situation.
That's fine. The other question would be, you stated several times that the intent is to annex into the town of Elmdale.
Yes.
So why apply to Sussex County first?
Because we have two or three different issues when you go into annexation. And again, as I pointed out earlier in my conversations with you all, annexation is not necessarily a panacea for the town, because you have to have on board the necessary administrative staff to accept a project the size as this. You have to have the necessary zoning ordinance that would allow for a project such as this. You would have to have the inspectors, the engineers, the full-time people that the county has that the town does not have. And they don't even have an MPHU ordinance, although theoretically they could go through and Bidenize, if you will, an ordinance and make that a part of the process. But as things moved forward, everybody was of a consensus opinion that this was the better place to make the application because it would get the kind of look it deserves to have. You all have the professional staff that it's necessary to take a look at one of these things critically and to be able to handle and process the application and later on take care of it that way. Then, and when it comes into town, assuming that the agreements are appropriately entered into between the town and accounting for all of the inspection services that are required, then there is a continuity of process.
And do you have any letters within your booklet for the record that show that the town has no objection to this application or support?
I believe that the mayor is here and may wish to speak to that.
That's all I have. That's all I have, buddy.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions. Just though, for the commission's benefit, really it's not related to this project specifically, but I will agree with Mr. Schrader that there is an agreement that's being circulated with the county and the town of Ellendale as far as inspections and things like that for Ordinance 38 and for, you know, the site work in the homes, that type of thing. So, I mean, there is a level of cooperation going on between the county and the town out there in general. And, you know, whether it affects this project or not, it probably affects others also out there.
And I think that if this goes, and Vince may not be here after the first year, but I hope to be here after the first year, I think we may establish a protocol that allows us to sorry, Vince, I've been where you are. but I think we'll have a protocol in place that will allow for these types of circumstances to take place in the other 24 or 5 towns in the county. That one of the, and I'm going to editorialize for a moment, but doggone it, the governor went into this process with livable, lovable Delaware without funding for the municipalities. And the idea was to drive development into the municipalities, but never giving the municipalities the means and methods by which they can do what they need to do to accept development within the town limits. So they're unfunded. You go into a town like Ellendale with a 400-unit project, you've caused them a lot of problems. You haven't solved any. If this process works and the protocol is put into place that makes Vince and me happy and everybody on the third floor and in the administrative office, then it may be possible for these things to take place in other locales and that livable Delaware process to be met. So much for the editorial.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you for your comments and your presentation. Gentlemen, if you would take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application.
Mr. Chairman, just for record, Dave.
Yes, sir.
County now works with a good majority of the towns, either for building code reviews and inspections, and that's the biggest thing they probably do jointly right now. And they're working with some MOUs for consideration with some of the towns for joint studying of some of the land use issues.
Well, my editorial comment would be that that's a good intergovernmental coordination, which I think is what we're supposed to be doing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1666, Beaver Properties, LLC? Yes, ma'am. Please come on up. Give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Good evening. My name is Dolores Price. I'm the mayor of Ellendale. I'm in favor of the project, and I really feel that it will benefit us in the future. And yes, as Mr. Strader said, we do not have the personnel to handle that size project, and we realize that. And we know that it's very important to have all those things in place. I have looked over, I don't think you've done a whole lot of changing from what I saw before or what I've seen before from looking at it at a distance. I really know that you're concerned about that ditch in back of, it's in back of my house. I know that it's going to take some of the property from back there to actually straighten that ditch back out to its original shape, because I think years and years ago it was straight and not V-shaped. I really feel very strong about the project, and I think that the rest of council does as well. And I'm looking forward, however, to having it be in a part of the Ellendale community. So I am really keeping my ears open, my eyes open, and looking forward to that. And I think Mr. Wheatley knows that I am really looking forward to the project becoming a part of the Ellendale community. And I'm very pleased of the fact that there are going to be houses in there that are going to be housing for working people that we need here in Ellendale, and help solve some of the housing problems that we have. So thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1666? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public